This is what should be done by one who will skill in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, not burdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud or demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I'm sorry, Chris, what did you say?
I said thank you, Venerable, and over to you.
Okay, all right. Hello again, everyone. So I see Gloria, Kimberly. Ah, it's the same old. Hello, Gita, as well. I see you there. So I just want to, it's always like stunned me if you read this Metta Sutta, the last kind of, you know, a few lines. The pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desire, is not born again into this world. I don't know. For me, that is quite powerful because, you know, what the world is like. So I think you have problems with the technology, as you can probably, have just a little bit of trouble there, Chris, with the, you know, with the Zoom. That's a problem with the world, unfortunately. So I was just meeting with Ajahn Brahm earlier. Basically, the world out there is just, so many problems, yeah. So even though the monastery is quite peaceful, but sometimes, you know, the world comes inside here and then, yeah. But the thing is just if you keep the mind still and just relax, yeah, the world's not so bad, you know. So the key thing is, like, how do you kind of separate the world, you know, from the mind? And how come they always seems to interact? And then it seems the world keep winning, you know. I know all of you guys, you know, some of you in Perth, probably in this, you know, Australia, it's just probably, you know, it's getting 7:10 right now. Okay, so it's probably evening and then having your dinner. And probably it's a long day for you guys. So I just want to take it easy and so you guys can relax to the max. Whereas probably, you know, the people from Maine, from the East Coast in the US, you're just starting your day. So good luck. Get ready with the day. So yeah. So again, why is it so difficult just to relax to the max? Because Ajahn Brahm keeps saying, you know, just relax to the max. And then let the world, like, come into the mind. That's also always the big, you know, the big questions. It's like, why is it always people get obsessed with the world? Kind of, you know, solve this problem, that problem, and then the problem never stops, you know? Yeah, so you try your best, but the problems just keep coming. Whereas if you listen to Ajahn Brahm, there's actually like a, not a, it's a solution actually, it's an attitude how to approach that world, just basically making peace with it. If you know that just little bit of trick, the world just cannot enter the mind and you can just let the mind so relax so easily. But the thing is, we need a bit of training because we're so used to letting the world enter the mind without permission. So please, maybe tonight or maybe in the morning for you people on the East Coast, in the US East Coast, we can try that right now, later on, maybe in our meditation. So again, so I maybe try to share a bit of, you know, tips and tricks. But basically, it's just making, you know, what Ajahn Brahm keeps saying, making peace, being kind, being gentle, or being patient. That's all the attitude that you need. There isn't anything fancy about it. I don't think anything difficult. So I've only been a monk for maybe only 5 years, and then, you know, it's not so difficult at all. But I know, if you know, people out there, it's not, maybe it's a bit foreign, you know, what making peace is. So that's the trick. So you have to know, you know, what making peace is. And that's the difficulty. So people like Ajahn Brahm is able to do that with words, which is quite amazing. But if it's possible, you know, you can, if I can open up my mind, just, you know, let you guys, you know, explore what my mind would be like, or Ajahn Brahm's mind, that'd be much easier, actually. Making peace is opening up the mind. I'm not sure if that makes any sense. Just open up the heart. Ajahn Brahm keeps saying, like, let the opening the door of your heart. And that's it. Basically what meditation is all about. And then I can go on and on and on for 20, you know, next an hour or so. But the basic gist is making peace with the world, being kind to yourself, and patience, and letting that process work through the system. Unfortunately, the problems keep cropping up in the world, and then you try to make peace with one problem, there's another problem keep coming, and then it doesn't stop. I know. But we can try, just, you know, since everyone's quite relaxed right now, and I don't know, I feel like doing meditation right now, is that okay? Or maybe you want to talk for a bit more? Is that okay, Chris? Feels like Oh, meditation.
Unless
if there's, okay, if there's any question, perhaps.
Or perhaps somebody might have a topic they might like to suggest. Ask you to talk about. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone who's got a topic or
something in mind before we start our meditation?
Oh, yes, Pooja.
All right, Pooja.
Yeah. Hi, Pandit.
Hello.
Is it possible to cover something about dealing with difficult relationships?
Oh, the world. Yes, definitely. That's always like a big thing. Yeah, sure. I can do that. Do you want to do it right now or maybe after the meditation? After a bit of peace and calm? Just right now?
Both ways works because it's hard kind of... If when it comes up in meditation, it's kind of difficult.
Yes, that's the thing. That's a trick also. The thing is always forgiveness. Accepting that person, yeah, that relationship. So it's always a difficulty I can give you, you know, with so many words. But basically just accept the person. The person did something. But that's in the past. Right now, in the present moment. So, but the thing is, I know it keeps coming in and in and in. I used to remember that used to obsess, you know, this monk's mind. But not anymore. It's just a bit of training, basically. Yeah, it's nothing fancy. Basically, just opening up the door of your heart, accepting that action actually, and then usually that person is out of control. You think that person is, you know, maybe doing it on purpose, whatever, but it's like usually it's circumstances. And then maybe got the person wrong time, whatever, and then, you know, yeah. So yeah, I know it's not easy, you know, accepting, yeah, accepting another person's kind of faults, whatever, but it's more difficult to accept your own, I think. So, because you think you're in control of your mind, and then you try to force, okay, you should accept, you should be able to forgive easily, because, you know, logically it makes sense, you know, once you forgive someone, you know, things that problem kind of settles down. But again, yeah, it's just a bit of training, basically. It's not too difficult, because once you see the kind of the danger of keeping that resentment, I think you already felt what resentment, you guys all know what resentments are, right? Like how it feels in the mind, it tenses up. All right, so go the opposite way. It's as simple as that. So it's a resentment, acceptance. Yeah, resentment, acceptance. So it's just a bit of training. After a while, just get used to it. And voila, it's so simple. And then every day can be cheerful and it to be resentful, but this or that, no need for envy. Gosh, it's pretty cool. Anyway, so anyway, just a bit of training, Pooja. Don't worry, we're here to help you, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, sure. I hope that helps.
Yeah, the part you said about, it's probably the inability to accept our own shortcomings that kind of, is kind of getting projected onto forgiving them is also part of it.
Yeah. Logically, it makes sense, but it just needs a bit of training. But the thing is, people don't want to start forgiving for some reason, you know. But once they felt that freedom of the mind from resentment, I'm like, yeah. And then you'll be addicted to that freedom, that bliss, that no resentment, no envy, no aversion, no wantings, no ill will, all the good stuff that, you know, promised by the Buddha, as well as taught by Ajahn Brahm, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And they are pretty easy, trust me. Just needs a bit of training. Anyone else have any question?
I would like to ask, like...
Cool.
So, I just want to confirm, like, when I do meditation, like, I will do meditation a short while after that, and then everything, like, no matter what it comes, like the lunch tomorrow may come.
Sure. That's also normal. I can assure you 100% of this, you know, everyone here can relate to that. So don't worry, you're okay. So just accept those thoughts. And your question is, that's it? Is that?
Yeah, that's just want to confirm that.
Yes, everyone else is just like you. Yeah, their mind's exactly like yours. it's quite amazing, right? They think that everyone's unique. Actually, everyone's pretty much similar. If they put you in your situation, they probably react the same way if they don't have the training. The training is easy. Yeah, just makes accepting, open the door of your heart. That's the only thing you need have to remove, just one. Can do? Can? Okay, thanks, Gloria. Sorry if I make things so simple, but it is that simple, though. I don't know, keep harping. Ajahn Brahm can say one item 1,000 different ways. But unfortunately, Ananda doesn't have that training yet. So you just got to keep going that one way. Yeah, but that one way is really hugely effective. I can assure you that, yeah. Anyone else have any question? Good question.
Yes, I do, Venerable.
Cool, all right.
What was a lesson that you learned in Thailand, while you were in Thailand recently?
Oh, the kindness. The kindness and the acceptance. Always that. It always comes there with that. So I don't know what else to say. So that's what I've been harping on. Basically, once you got accepted, it's like, wow, you want to come back there again. That's why you guys keep coming to Ajahn Brahm. You feel accepted. You feel he's kind and patient with you. Takes forever, to answer your questions. That's it. Yeah, there's no secret to this, the Buddha's teaching. Basically, that's it. Once you master that, you master everything. And you see the Dhamma, you see everything, that there's no one there, and then the world sucks and all that. But it's okay. As long as the mind is empowered, it's bliss, well, the world just can enter that. The world can enter the mind, actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, Venerable, who was the most interesting teacher that you met in your journeys and travels?
Oh, there was this one abbot. I was quite surprised that he's quite very senior, actually, 44 years as a monk. But he actually the one who served us, and I was only a 5-year monk. And then my partner was only 2 years, and then he was the one personally, hand us drinks, and then greet us. Wow, he was very gentle. That was very surprising. And the thing is, he came from a very strict Longtha Mahabua lineage. I don't know if anyone heard about Longtha Mahabua. But yeah, so surprising. It's like,
I know nothing
at all. That was cool. So that was pretty cool. But everyone there, all the abbots, even though they have a lot of responsibility, they always like really chill. Always kind, gentle. So that was the coolest thing, I think. So you just realize, that this path, it can be practiced by anyone. And then, while I was there, I was really, 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 really touched by those habits. By their hospitalities, their kindness. And then, I just say, Ananda, you want to stay 1 year? Okay. But unfortunately, I have to come back here and help Ajahn Wat with certain admin duties and all that. So maybe another year or so. Mm-hmm. Yep, it'll be cool. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Thank you, Venerable.
Yep, no problem.
Anybody else got a topic that they'd like Venerable to speak about?
If not, meditation again. Sorry. No, I'll wait. Don't worry. I'll be sitting here and relax. Okay, not too. Okay.
So where exactly did you travel in Thailand?
Okay, so we can talk about that before. So we start from Bangkok, and then in February the 15th, the first day. So we went to visit Ajahn Jandi. He's again very sweet monk and all that. So Ajahn Brahm has this story where he mentioned that his family are so sweet that the chilies that they raise are also sweet. I don't know if that's true or not. Ajahn Brahm didn't confirm if it's true or not, but okay, that's a legend anyway. So so the air was that sweet, so it's that gentle, so it's really nice of coming there. And after that, so we went to visit Ajahn Ganha. So this is Ajahn Ganha, the famous monk who can pet the cobra. Yeah, so and then he came to visit us at Bodhiyana maybe in 1986 or something like that. So he mentions like his experience over here, so it was pretty nice. And he said, one thing he said, like something, Bodhiyana is actually a very important monastery. So I was quite surprised. So I thought we just, somewhere in Australia, so maybe it's not so important. But apparently, it's very important. So that's why he wants us to conduct ourselves in a very strict manner. So that's what he mentioned, So just a little tips of that sort, and then no internet. So okay, so I've tried to follow that. So no internet, so it's fine. And then yeah, just a few things, simple stuff. And then we went to what else? Ubon to meet Ajahn Liam. Ajahn Liam's always been a monk hero of mine, definitely. So yeah, that's just confirmed again. So the last time I stayed at his monastery was in 2014. So that was 2014. Yeah, so maybe 10 years ago. So basically, yeah. So it's nice to see him again. But this time, so maybe he's a decade older, but again, still the same relaxed person. I think he would be the only monk who is more relaxed than Ajahn Brahm. I don't know if you guys seen Ajahn Brahm. He's pretty relaxed, right? This monk is even more relaxed. I've never seen anything like that. So just watching him, his Dhamma talk, yeah, I just listened. So basically, he said like, okay, just, you know, throughout this travel, just pay attention, see how things are different. So take what is good into your heart and then just, you know, leave the bad. So it's okay. And then visiting his monastery, also just walking around, that was pretty nice. So that was a lot of forest chickens running around. So it's like a trip back to the the memory lane. Yeah, it's quite nice. And then the Ubon, there's a monastery near the Moon River, which is very, very beautiful. And then we feed the Asian carps over there. Asian carps are okay, actually. Yeah, so. Just throw fish food, and then they just kept gobbling up, you know, so that was pretty cool. And then after that, we went somewhere. We had so many places. So Phetchabun as well, that's Ajahn Anand's monastery. It's Ajahn Achalo. And then I think we wrap things up at Ajahn Chiang Mai. I forgot the name. Oh, what Arana Vivek? That was Ajahn Plian's monastery. So again, so the abbot there is quite nice, and then yeah, so we invited to stay there as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Venerable. Mm-hmm. If you would you like to lead us into meditation?
What do you think? Maybe I don't want to do meditation now. Maybe I'll talk a bit longer. No, I'm just kidding. So okay. I'll turn off the light and then you guys just settle down, okay? And then just relax. Okay. This is the main course, everyone. So you had the appetizer, which is okay, maybe nice, quite nice, but this is the main course. And then let's see what happens, okay? So seems like everyone's quite relaxed already. And then we'll do the body scan because it's like it's the easy way just to settle down into peace. You can just adjust your body a bit. If you want to lie down on the floor, please lie down on the floor. If you want to sit on the stool, that's fine as well. And again, you can also right now, I'm sitting on a chair, so I'm feeling the feet touching the carpet, which is quite soft and gentle. You can just feel it. You can relax your feet. put kindness to it, put some warmth to them, and feel them relax. And then move up to your leg. It feels okay right now. Nice and easy and quite relaxed. And then move to your knees. And pause here for a bit and put some kindness and some warmth to your poor knees. They've been working so hard. And then move your thigh. And put some kindness and warmth. And feel them relax. To your butt. I'm sitting on a chair, so it's quite comfortable. But those of you sitting on the floor, you can adjust your position here and there. Just define the right position. Put some gentleness. Patience. And kindness. And feel the muscle of your hips just relaxing. And relax more. Relax more. And move to your lower back. Usually a lot of problems here. So If you wish, you can stretch them to the left, to the right. Shift them here, shift them there. And feel the muscles around the lower back just relaxing. And don't forget kindness and warmth. And then relax to the max. And then to your back, make them taut, make them tight, and then let the muscles relax. Feel how good it is. Feels so nice. I wish I can stay here forever. Let's move on to the shoulder. Again, do the same thing with your back. Make your shoulder tight, scrunch into a ball, and just opens up, relax. And feel a relaxed shoulder. Feels how it feels. Feels what it's like. And that's just a precursor of what the mind is like when it's relaxed. The endorphins is flowing into your system. Do it again. Make them tight. And relax. Move to your stomach. If you just had your dinner, feel its fullness. Give it some kindness and some warmth and a lot of gentleness because it needs it so it can digest the food properly. And feel the muscle of the stomach relaxing. Everything inside it smiling at you. Say thank you. Thank you for being kind. You're welcome. Then explore your kidneys. Make sure they're fine. There's a bit of tightness on my right side of the chest. Was it a kidney? Just put a bit of kind of loving kindness there. And the pain, that tightness disappear. It's like that. And move to the chest. And to your lungs. Be extremely kind to your lungs. They've been working so hard. Breathing in, breathing out. Breathing in, breathing out. And also feel the lungs in your chest smiling at you. I know it's a bit funny. How can the chest and the lungs smile at you? Well, you know how now. They're definitely smiling at you. Saying thank you for paying attention to me. Again, we can pause here and enjoy the breath going in to the lungs and out. In, peace, and out, kindness. In peace, breathe out kindness. In, out. In. And out. And you can feel the chest warming up. And the heart singing. Just remember that feeling. That happiness, that joy in your heart. Now move to your fingertips. And to your arms. elbows, upper arms, and give them loving kindness and gentleness again. And feel them relax and respond. Then move to your neck. The neck feels good today, but if you wish, you can move them to the left, to the right, up, and down. Just to give it a bit of exercise. And feel the muscle relaxing, saying thank you. Thank you for taking the time to relax me. And feel the muscle around your neck. Feel them closely. Put some love and kindness. And also warmth. And you move your throat. Feels a bit sore today, so just gonna relax it a bit. And the soreness disappear, just like that. And there's loving kindness, pain, concerns, worries, they all disappear. Don't know where they've gone, but they just disappear. Now move to your face. Feel what it's like. To your lips and your mouth. Smile if you wish. It always helps to brighten the mood. If there isn't a joy or there isn't peace or there isn't happiness, always smile. It always does the trick. A smile always brings happy memories, good feelings. You can even make the smile wider. Feel the cheek. nose. Feel the warm breath. Out. The breath going in. And feel the warm breath going out. In. And out. Go to your eyes. If it's been a long day for you guys, maybe the muscle around the eyes are quite higher. So if you can spend some time here and then just relax them. Relax the muscle around the eyes and the eyeballs. And don't forget the kindness and the warmth. That's the key to meditation. It's just kindness and warmth and gentleness. Feel the muscle of your eyes relaxing. And the eyeball decompressing. Remember during meditation, you have to look here and there. You can keep the eyes still. Keep it in the dark. You'll have the muscle of the eyes relaxing. Doesn't have to go see this item or that item, that scenery or that scenery. The muscle can just relax. Just feel that muscles relaxing a bit more, and a bit more, and a bit more. Now to the top of your head. Imagining opening up the top of your head and take out your brain. And put that brain in a nice soft sofa. Just imagine it relaxing to the max. You can peek inside into the mind. See if there are any concerns or worries. If they are, maybe for Gloria, maybe lunchtime or something. Put some acceptance and put some kindness to. Say welcome. Welcome thoughts. You're welcome to stay. I will always treat you well. You don't have to leave. Concerns? You can stay here as well. Worries? You're also welcome here anytime. Please accept them all with loving kindness. After a while, those worries, those concerns, and those thoughts about lunch, they also want to meditate. They also want to give some loving kindness to you. Say, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for letting me stay and then trying to shoo me away. And now feel the mind kind of emptying. Just leaving the awareness. and the joy. Say welcome, Joy. It's been a while. Welcome to stay. The funny thing is that Joy is actually your concerns, your thoughts about lunch. But since you're kind to those thoughts and those worries and those concerns, they turn to joy. So after all those worries, those concerns, those thoughts are not so bad. They're just what lead to joy, if you know how to deal with them. Not to deal with them, actually, how to make friends with them. Make friends with your concerns and worries. And those things turn to joy. And that joy is what kind of brings your mind deeper and deeper and deeper into stillness. So I'm going to stop talking now and let you relax to the max. And I'll ring the gong when it's time. Please to the max. See you soon. Now I'm going to ring the gong 3 times. I hope everyone enjoyed the meditation. I certainly did. So if you guys have any questions. Oh, thank you, Chris. Okay, excellent. Yeah, nice to hear that. Anyone has any question?
Yes, there's a question in the chat if you would like me to read, please.
Yeah, yes, please.
How do we forgive our own self for missed opportunities because of our own mistakes? And that we are left to think about with remorse.
Again, as always, I'm just going to keep repeating the same thing. It's just accepting it. Yeah, it's just what's in the past. So why worry about the past? So right now, it's just in the present. And again, it's just a training. So once you know how it feels like, you know what it's like holding in that remorse, it's that tightness. It's always like this, clenching. The heart feels clenched. But if you can let it go, put some kindness. So it's okay. You made some mistake, it's okay. So you can just let it go. And again, it's just a bit of training. So it's okay making mistakes, whatever. It's opportunities. It always happens. It happens to everyone. That's what life is all about anyway. So it's, life is what happens. So everything, you think it's a missed opportunity, so maybe actually it's, you know, it's what it's meant to be. So, yeah, just keep going, keep soldiering on. That's what one of my heroes, you know, he died when last year when he was 99. His name, Charlie Munger. It's like, what's your motto of life? Just shoulder on, just keep going. So, yeah, don't worry about missed opportunities. There's always other opportunities. And then, you know, if you make mistakes, it's okay. There are other things where you can, you know, actually not make mistakes. If you look at those missed opportunities, it's just a very few. I feel like they're very, very huge, but actually, yeah, they're not that significant. They're all right. You're doing okay. I hope that helps. Just keep going. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any question?
Yes, would anyone else like to either unmute or put a question in the chat? I'd be very happy to read it if you would like to do that.
Chat? Did you say in the chat, Chris?
Yes, there was something in the chat. Could you advise on feeling annoyed when receiving praise or when receiving blame?
Okay. Again, should I keep repeating the same thing? Acceptance. But again, there's that pause. Always remember, maybe, yes, that's also the trick that you can learn. It's just being patient with those criticism. Just put some space. And then just a bit of training. It's not that difficult. After all, those, you know, blames are nothing more than sounds. So can you imagine just letting sounds like affect your heart? Your mind is so much greater than that, and you're letting sound from outside affecting the world inside. Which is pretty crazy if you think about it. You know, why do you let the world outside affect the mind inside? So if you keep reflecting that way, it's like Ajahn Brahm says something like, what would you let anyone affect your happiness? So yeah, basically just keep reflecting that. So yeah. After a while, you can just separate. You know, there's always that distance that the mind can always just relax. you know, in terms of criticisms, whatever. So again, just, it's okay if you still get affected by that, and then don't get very upset, you know, you can't just let them go. So it's okay, just a bit of training, but if you, there's some of that willingness to train the mind, just to accept, to be kind, to be gentle, making peace with the criticism, it's not so bad, actually. If you think, you just really listen, actually it's not so bad, the criticism. So, yeah, just be kind to yourself. That's the most important thing.
All right, thank you, Venerable. There's another question here. Hi, Venerable. I appreciate the way the worldly conditions roll off like water off a duck's back. When did this click for you? When did it click to you? When did you get to understand this?
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And how did you attain this?
I think it just happens. You know, at one point, just realize, yeah, you know, doesn't, you know, just don't have to be. It's pretty crazy if you think about it. Why would you let anything, you know, affect the mind? The mind is the most powerful thing, and then it's get affected by sounds, affected by sights, affected by smell, affected by, you know, touches. Again, I guess I would say the thing that able to separate the mind from the world is that bliss. Once that bliss is experienced, which is not too difficult, and then automatically those sights, sounds, smell, taste, and touches just doesn't touch the mind anymore, because the mind has its own recourse, you know, its own kind of sanctuary in that bliss and that joy. So I guess that's the reason. So if it clicks, it doesn't click really, because the joy really separates the mind from the world. So basically that's what happened in the mind. So it's just pretty cool. So nothing has to click or nothing has to occur. It's just that bliss, maybe, perhaps. It's just a sign separating from the world. So I don't know if that's helpful, but that's what it feels like in the mind of Ananda.
Is there anyone else who would maybe like to unmute and make a comment or ask a question?
Hey, Gloria.
It's just when I was meditating, mm-hmm. I was like, my heartbeat was really loud and mm-hmm. fast. Mm-hmm. And I'm often like this. But like, I think when I look, like when I just don't do anything, I will get louder and faster,
yeah.
And there's somewhere in my mind, like when you say that, like let the kindness or the gentleness do its job, and I can sense that some part of my mind is like holding, I don't know what it is holding on to, but it's like that tension, and it is resisting, like he said that I don't want
to. Yeah, I know.
That's
funny, right? Yeah, so again, it's just, you keep experimenting, and that's the only way. Sometimes I know the mind resists that kindness and gentleness, and then sometimes you wonder why. So again, so you can ask yourself why as well at one point.
I think it's because like I'm afraid of my weakness, like I think some part of me is like I'm afraid of like seeing and accepting that weakness. That's
Actually, weaknesses are great, actually. So it means like, yes, you don't have to, you have to be strong in everything, you know, you actually can weak. And then there's actually weak in quite a few things, actually. That's fine. As long as your mind is quite, you know, resistant, very joyful and very happy. So it's okay. Even, you know, accepting. Maybe that sense of self, usually, because that joy actually takes control from the mind. And then that will start to disappear, because you're trying to will the world to, you know, have choice in that, start to disappear with that joy. That joy is basically just still the mind, and the mind cannot move. So maybe perhaps that, or perhaps it's something else also, the tension. Sometimes you put, maybe I shouldn't mention about the heart during meditation, because sometimes people put attention to the heart and then feel the heart. Ajahn Brahm keeps saying like, yeah, don't focus on the heart sometimes. So that's what happens. So just focus on the breath and then just chest area maybe. and feel it warming
can I
up.
Ask,
yeah.
Can I ask why you don't put attention to that? But it's not like I intentionally do that because my heart is very loud and fast.
Exactly. So it just keeps increasing the tension. So it's just a positive, you know, feedback loop. So more and the heart get more tense, and then you're more tense, and then the heart gets more tense. Then just keep, there's a feedback loop. And then the heart will keep beep, 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 beep. Okay, it means like, move away, please. Be kind to yourself. So sometimes that's also a funky way. You know, sometimes Ajahn Brahm was like, oh yeah, move away from the heart if that happens, okay? Please don't focus too much on the heart. Focus on the breath and the chest area maybe, if it's okay. But if not, it's okay as well. The warmth should be like, it's all over the body actually. Yep. Mm-hmm. Next time, I'll make sure not to mention the heart when Gloria is around. Okay? Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions?
Yes, there's a comment in the chat here. Thank you, Ajahn, for the meditation. It was very heartening when you said to embrace worry.
Mm.
That was the exact same time when I embraced my fear and anxiety.
So cool. Okay.
In group hug.
Okay.
Surely faded away for a moment or two.
Okay. That's great. So thank you for joining us. So, and then that's just a bit of a taste of what freedom is like. Just imagine, accept the world, accept the worries, accept the wantings, accept the aversion, accept yourself. And then let yourself disappear, vanish. That's cool. Okay, so good job. Please keep going that way, kid.
Sorry, Venerable.
No problem.
We have another question here. Why are you not reflecting at the end of the meditation?
Oh, because the joy is so strong. You kind of want to enjoy the joy. So if you want to reflect and then there's no joy, yeah, you can do that as well. So that's fine. Mm-hmm. Mm. Sorry. Maybe next time I'll do some reflection as well. Try my best. Blame the joy, okay? Anyone else have any questions?
Anyone like to unmute and ask directly?
Mm-hmm. If people are tired, they're welcome to, you know, we can finish up early, which is fine. Chris, I think they're tired of me.
We're not tired at all.
Thank you. Yeah. So after a while, it's just, yeah, all the questions just disappear. It's like, why would you need questions? Because you got what you came here for anyway, that joy, that bliss. So again, yeah, that's the end of my job, which is pretty cool. Mm.
Pooja, would you like to unmute?
Yes. Hi, Ajahn again.
Hello, Pooja.
Ajahn, could you speak a little about how we have similar kind of expectations from human beings as we have from our pets, and the kind of company, joy, and love that we experience with them? And
yeah, sure, definitely. You know, the mind of your the pets actually quite similar to the mind of you, Pooja, and then the mind of the gods, actually, they're one and the same. I shouldn't say one and the same, but with this training, with this bliss, actually you're experiencing the mind of a god. So if you feel, ill will, aversion, that's getting to the lower realm. So you can imagine, what feels like being a pet. Maybe there's a bit of confusion, like a bit helplessness. It's like actually you're experiencing the mind of an animal as well, of a pet. So with that bliss, that joy, actually that's the mind of a god. So you can see that's different spectrums. That's all. So I don't know if anyone believes in gods and whatever, in ghosts. But you experienced those mind states before. And then actually, that's a cool thing. For those people who believe in rebirth, that's basically that's what those things are. Your mind traversing different realms, And then you experience those, you know, spectrum of different minds, you know, from, you know, resentments, maybe that's like the ghost realm, whatever, and then the joy of the deva realm, the higher, you know, higher realm, and then humans just in the middle. So basically it's the, yeah, that's why you kind of share their liking and disliking, because yeah, basically they could be you next life, so just yeah. And also it can be a deva as well, one of the gods. Just, I don't know if I should be talking about this, but yeah, basically, yeah, imagine instead of you praying to the gods, whatever, just you be one of the gods. And then that would be pretty cool, right? That joy, that bliss, and then no need for food, no need for worries about the world. You can just bliss out in the mind. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And it's not so hard. It's just, it just takes a bit of training, that acceptance, that kindness. That's basically what we're doing right now. Training to be one of the gods. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool. Hopefully it doesn't turn anyone off. Yeah.
Kimberly, would you like to unmute Kimberly?
Hi, Bhante, thank you.
Hey.
I'd like to figure out how to be kind without being a doormat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you want to kind of more details, or?
Not really. I just think sometimes it's easy to keep extending kindness and then having people kind of being a little bit, take advantage of it, I guess. But
The thing is with Ajahn Brahm, he always said, like, please take advantage of me. So what's, I don't know if that's going to work with your case or not, but it might, in our case as a monk, so yes, please take advantage of us. So after a while, it's just, yeah, it's okay. After, you know, people just keep asking for your time. So I don't know exactly the details, but I think, but I know, you know, being a doormat, it's like, it's not one of the things that I've experienced. So, yeah, you can put some boundaries, I guess, yeah. But again, please don't kind of stop, you know, accepting people just because of that one experience. So maybe it's just that one person, one situation, and maybe a different situation that one person can actually be kind to you as well. And then, yeah, maybe they just need you, and maybe just a great person to be around. So yeah, that's fine also. So people always take advantage of Ajahn Brahm. It's like, Ajahn Brahm, can you say Ajahn Brahm? So most of the times they'll say yes. But he's getting older now, so he has to start saying no. No, I'm sorry. So because I'm, you know, so just, you know, have some, maybe a list of reasons, say, okay, maybe I'm a bit tired, whatever. Yeah. So give it a try, Kimberly. Yeah. So I know it's like one of those things. Yeah. But you're doing great. Okay, Kimberly. Thanks for keep coming to our sessions. Yeah.
Venerable, how to deal with anxiety when you wake up at 1, 2, or 3 in the morning?
Same bit, the same thing. She just accepted it, embraced it, opened it. That's it. I don't know what else to say. Yeah. So again, a bit of training, a bit of seeing the danger of that anxiety, just that feel it tightness, and then just imagine it's opening up. Just accept anxiety. Don't try to force it away. It's as simple as that. So accept it. And then that anxiety turns into joy. And then just give that a shot, maybe tonight. And then if you see me in another session, you can ask me again how it goes. Pretty simple, actually. It's just a flip of the mind from anxiety to bliss. Just like that. Put a bit of surrender to it. Just surrender to the anxiety. Just say, it's okay. You can envelope. You can come over here anytime. After all, it's just anxiety. If you look at it closely, it's not so bad. It's not like everyone stabbing you or whatever. It's just feeling that, you know, that anxiety, thoughts racing, maybe racing in your mind. But after what? Thoughts, just thoughts, you know. Things are racing in your mind, whatever. Things slow down. Anxiety goes up and down, left or right. It's just mind states. Yeah. And those mind states, they are your friends, and they are your teachers, and they'll teach, make sure to you to learn acceptance, that loving kindness. If not, you have to do this lessons over and over again. And then I definitely don't recommend that. Just do it once and then over. Can do, Gloria, from Hong Kong. All right.
I do actually have some comments on that, if you don't mind reading them. I experienced this last night. I presume I experienced anxiety last night.
Yeah.
I know about this. I always relate to the experiences that people have here. Someone says, we're all here now, and we're happy here now anyway. And relating with this group helps. And finally, anxiety exists for us all.
That's true. But it has to end at one point, that's anxiety. It exists, it comes, and it goes. So there you go. It ends. And when it ends, the bliss arises. And then when that bliss arises, and then it ends, peace arises. And also peace ends.
I would like to further ask, like, is that, yes, just say that when anxiety ends and then bliss will come,
mm-hmm.
at the moment that your mind see through the anxiety
mm-hmm.
and then understand what it is, and
mm-hmm.
then at that moment the mind would like instantly drop that. So there's
mm-hmm.
no like, You cannot really control yourself into it, right?
Exactly. You cannot control the bliss as well. As you know, you can't even control the anxiety. You could also control the bliss. It's just what happens when, you know, anxiety ends. Just, you know, joy happens. You can try and say, oh, anxiety ends, but nothing happens. No, usually, actually, like most of the times, actually, that joy arises. Because like, what you notice is like this anxiety is a pain. Once the pain disappear, you know, what do you get when pain disappear? You get that relief. That relief is actually that bliss, that joy. It's as simple as that. So the pain, what you have right now, anxiety, whatever, worry, disappear. And then something else arises. And then something else is something nice, which is, I call it bliss anyway. You can call it joy, happiness, relief. It's all one of the same. Just basically the mind releasing from the world. And you have an example of that, yeah. So actually, anxiety is not bad. Actually, anxiety teaches you it's suffering. There's suffering here. But if you truly understand what suffering is, the end of suffering is joy. It's as simple as that. But the thing is, what makes this suffering disappear is accepting. People try to get rid of it, you know, trying to manipulate it, troubleshoot it. What you guys are looking for, you know, how do you find solution to anxiety? Maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. But there isn't any steps, it's actually zero steps. The zero steps is actually accepting it. Once it's accepted in your mind, disappear. And joy arises. And you can't control that. Yeah.
Can I say that then the point is like, you just keep practicing.
Exactly! That's the only way. I can tell you this a billion times, but if you don't practice, what can I do? I can only say this and just annoy you. Again, if something annoys you, just accept it, embrace it, and then turn it to bliss, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Training.
Thank you.
Glory. Definitely. You're doing great. Keep coming. Mm-hmm.
And Sky has just put down, hungry, eat.
Yes.
Bliss.
Yes. See? The end of hunger is bliss. The end of pain. Thank you. And that's what the Buddha's teaching, as simple as that, the end of suffering. Yeah, how do you end suffering? Accepting it, yeah. Being kind, being gentle, making peace with it. And that's it. Suffering disappear. Mm. Hope that helps. Mm-hmm.
Beautifully put, Venerable. Thank you very much. Mm. Would you like to leave us with a blessing this evening? Offer us a blessing?
Yes, please learn your lesson quick and then bliss out. That's it. Thank you, everyone. See you next time. Next week will be Sunyo. You'll have a lot of fun with Sunyo. And Nibuto the week after that. Mm-hmm, definitely. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.